This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Marketing Mojo on Resource Center, and I'm Maya Tan. Today, we get into part two of our five-part series entitled PR 24/7. And of course, this is also the title of the book authored by PR strategist Andrew Chow. Hi, Andrew.
Hello. It's always good to be on our show.
Welcome back. So last week, we talked about determining your brand essence and the 10 questions to answer in honing in on what your brand essence is. Mm-hmm. You can still catch the podcast on bfm.my. So today, we're going to be talking about making headlines, but in a positive way, of course.
Right.
So to start off with, Andrew, you know, what is news?
Yes, of course, we all want to get famous in the right way. Basically, I broadly classify news as two different types. The hard news is primarily facts, figures, things that is very straightforward that people like to know, like announcements from our government, be it Singapore or Malaysia, and the current trend. Another side of news would be what I call a soft news. This has to do with a lot of human interests.
Mm.
Typically, anything that's current, local, new, unusual, first time ever, or even abnormal, with the presence of social media, even sensational or socially impactful, will become news.
Right, I see. So, you know, what kind of news do we want to make? You know, what kind of news creates the most impact?
I think today, anything that's close to people's heart, anything that's socially impactful, often strike a chord in a lot of people's heart. I think that kind of news really resonates with our human nature, and it helps us to reflect on how we relate to that piece of news. How do we get involved?
Right. I suppose it also depends on what stage your company is at, mm-hmm. and what exactly you want to announce at a particular point in time.
That's right.
And if business is, if it's business news that you're after, then mm-hmm. you know, it's a little bit more on the hard side, as you
That's
say.
Right. That's right.
But you know, say you're a big corporation and you're embarking on a CSR campaign, mm-hmm. it could actually be on the soft side in the lifestyle pages, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. I think CSR is probably one of the most authentic face of any company, any brand. You not only put yourself out there to fulfill a social responsibility, you also can use these opportunities to build your brand and tell your story to people that have not connected to you before.
Mm.
Yeah. A good CSR project actually connects with new volunteers, and this will be your new group of stakeholders. So all said and done, yes, you use your strength of the company to serve a purpose in the society. That can create news as well, depending on how special that project is, how unique that project is.
Right. I think previously in our communications, mm-hmm. we also talked about how money, sex and health are of the greatest interest to
That's
the
right.
media.
That's right.
I think you can add crisis situations and controversy to that,
yes.
unfortunately. But,
yes.
you know, what if what you're doing doesn't touch on any of these topics? How do you make it interesting
okay.
for the media?
Okay. I think what we've discussed so far are from a story's point of view, mm. and they are also very interesting from a human interest point of view. But if you're a subject expert and you really have an opinion about trends, statistics, observations, you can go on the style of producing a angle,
mm-hmm.
all right, where you can use that as a starting point, like what we're having now,
mm-hmm.
as a springboard to further discussion,
mm.
so that people's minds can be stretched, so that their minds can be challenged. Oh, I didn't know that this topic actually involves so many things, and there are so many viewpoints. I learned a lot of things. So it's more appealing to people who just want to learn a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
If you play your cards right, if you know how to build on a topic, then the angle perspective, it's for you.
Right. Okay. Do you have any case studies of, say, a company that tried to do this? You know, maybe a diaper company who has an interview on parenting or sort of indirect kind of what you were talking about.
Yes. So, for example, based on your illustration, I can immediately think of something. So, for example, if you ever do a research on how fast new parents change diapers, all right, and let's say interview and time 100 different new parents, and you found out that, hey, look, they can do it within 1 minute. Now, that can be a angle by itself, where today parents are more and more savvy, maybe due to the presence of social media. You have so many YouTube videos on how to change diapers. You don't have to learn from more mature parents and so on. So that could be an interesting thing. All right.
Okay.
So depending on who did that survey. So if you're a diaper manufacturer, then you put your name out there by producing something interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so in Generating News, you know, your book states that it's important to differentiate between angles and stories. And you kind of touched on this a little bit. But can you elaborate further on the difference between these two?
Okay. I think it's the same here in Malaysia, in Singapore. Newspapers, the dailies and the weeklies magazine, or even the monthly magazines, we focus a lot on human stories. I think people's stories are always interesting. There's always this debate. Do you get famous first, then get featured? Or after you are being featured, you get famous?
Okay. There's a big difference there.
Yes, there's a big difference there. Of course, hopefully you get famous for the right reason after you are being featured. But human stories are always interesting because nobody is exactly like you. Your story be so original. So as long as you are a good storyteller, your story will become news. So on the press, often we say below the line, newspapers and magazines, they focus on stories. TV, online maybe, and definitely radio, like what we are doing now. Above the line, we focus a lot on angles. We have different topics, and we can either do a one-to-one expert opinion sharing, or we can do a panel. In either way, it works. So for newsmakers who are nervous about facing the media, you might want to become one of the panelists so that you don't get too much attention and you will ease into it. So
yeah, because I think it's also a general characteristic of humans these days. There's so much information overload that we tend to reject anything that's too hard sell, right?
That's right. I think there's also another point that there are no new content in the world. The only difference is your delivery. So what makes one expert different from the other is really a matter of perspective and delivery, the style, the kind of taste, the personality they bring into it. So the quality of presentation is also important here.
Right. Okay, I'm with Andrew Chow, PR strategist and author of the book PR 24/7. Together, we're working on our five-part series on PR, and we're doing part two today on exploring news and engaging news chasers. So we've been talking about the kinds of news that exist and the kind of news we want to chase. Right after this, we'll be talking about how to effectively engage news chasers. This is Marketing Mojo on Resource Center, BFM 89.9.
Breaking Financial Matters, BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon. This is Marketing Mojo on Resource Center. I'm Maya Tan. Andrew Chow is here, PR strategist and author of the book PR 24/7. We're on to part two of our five-part series on PR. Now, we spoke about stories and angles and the kinds of news that we want to get. So now, how do we go about getting it? Does it all begin with effective communications and relationships with the media?
Yes. Building relationship with the media usually start with something very passive. From personal experience, because I myself, I'm a self-made newsmaker. To share a little bit about how I started, I was forced into the scene. I was forced to create PR after I won a tender successfully.
Okay.
Believe me, 10 years ago, I don't even know what is PR. So I hired a PR agency to help me. He didn't do a good job.
Okay.
So I discovered that with a bit of creativity and communication skills, to see things from a media point of view, I can effectively get my stories across. So I have tried different ways, and that is why this book is a compilation of all the proven and tested strategies. So along the way, I discovered that to build relationship with the media, number one, you need to do your homework. How I do my homework is a manual way. I go and look for all magazines, newspapers that I want to be featured in one day. And I go and compile all the journalists' database, be it editor, assistant editor, doesn't matter. You just have to write and remember their professional interests. So that forms my database. And step two, my first email to any one of them will never be my pitch, will never be a press release, will never be even talking about myself.
Right.
I often do this. I often introduce myself as I am an info center. I notice that you're involved in lifestyle, fashion, and so on. If you need subjects for interview, I just want to share that I'm well connected with a lot of these people. You can always call me for to interview someone. So I just made myself available, right. And I find that they love it because...
Yeah, it's coming from a media perspective, yeah. You know, what you're saying in step one and step two really appeals to me because there are so many people who have never heard my show who are pitching all sorts of ideas that actually don't fit and it wastes their time as well as mine.
Right. Yeah, and you get frustrated because your impression of them, it's definitely negative because, hey, look, I think you didn't hear my show before. So why I like to emphasize on this is that I think a lot of reporter and producer presenter today, they may not have time to do a lot of research. So they love it that they have a trusted network, objective enough to keep connecting them with new subjects, new topics. I have been doing that role for 10 years, both for myself and for other people. I find it is really, really so important. And once you gain their trust, then every three emails that I send, only one has to do with pitching. Other times, I would comment them on the show that they have done. Of course, I make sure I listen to them. I make sure I read their column and I give their comments. And I always do a follow-up. In case you need to do a follow-up story, I'd like to add that you might want to add these two other points into your development on next story. So I try to fill in the role of assistant producer. So
that really helped.
Yeah, so being helpful, being empowering, it's the first step of creating good impression. I think this is a larger scale of doing networking because I think media itself also, they have their own stakeholders to answer to. So I treat them like a business entity.
Mm-hmm.
I also ask myself, whenever I send something to them, I put myself into their shoe. Will their readers or listeners love to hear this?
Exactly. The fact is that it's a mutually beneficial relationship. You know, people like me need content and people like you need to get your information there, or you help your clients, you know, get their information on. So the relationship is already mutually beneficial. It's, as you say, empowering the media or enabling the media, making their job easier working as an assistant producer. Yeah. I think that really has legs. What about key things to understand about the media?
Well, I think even if your story is interesting, according to you, now, a lot of newsmakers, they will think that, wow, their story is so interesting. But lo and behold, when your press release or when your email get across to the other side will be thinking, number one, of course, what is your key message? Mm-hmm. You have to know your key message. If the media is confused about your key message or you have too many key messages, then they do not know what to focus on. Number two, they have to be very objective. There has to be checks and balances. So they would make sure that they contact their own network to verify this news. So don't be surprised. You send in something, you thought you're going to be the only one being featured. In the end, you end up being one of the few who are being interviewed.
Yes. Yeah. That happens quite commonly in print. And also, you know, in a broadcast, of course, it's possible.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I started off with being a panel of three, you know, and then we were talking about this sensitive topic of dating and why are there so many singers in Singapore. So it was very exciting. And you have to understand that they won't ask exactly how you like to be asked.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be spontaneous and
flexible.
Get ready that the producer will do extra research. Mm-hmm. It may ask you something that you might not have thought of.
Mm-hmm. Any other key things to pay attention to?
I think also we have to respect the professionalism of the media people. For example, in print, it is not right to ask them to show you what they have written before it's being printed. I think that is definitely no.
It's not an ad. It's not a commercial.
Yeah, it's not a commercial. However, I do find that in certain instances, when they are your very good friends, they may show you your part, your quotation, and that's it. They just want to make sure that you're quoted correctly.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And I guess that boils down to the relationship that you have with that particular media member, right?
That's right. So if you are first few times to the media, you'll do a lot of pre-recording. And if you are more savvy, you'll be asked to do live shows. That's my favorite part because you really had a thing on the spot, thing on your head. And that's what excites me.
Mm-hmm.
I think chemistry, at the end of the day, it's important. It's all boiled down to how do you build romance with the media. So I actually have an article about romancing the media. So it's just like courtship. Know what they want, know how to bring across a message, and always ask for feedback.
Mm.
And especially on air, on radio, if we have an offer on air, I often tell my client, make sure that the minute when the show ends, you have to fulfill that offer. Because we have stories where we promise to give out books on air to 5 callers.
Mm-hmm.
And if the books are not sent out within 24 hours, those people who want your book may start calling the station, and the station may not feel very good about you after that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another area that you cover in your book is also, you know, how to write a professional love letter, as you put it. Yeah. So why do you term it as such? I'm guessing you're referring to the news release.
That's right. Press release, press alert, media alert, they all classify as your official statement to the press and media. Now, it is not that using the word press release isn't good. The problem is with press release, a lot of people feel that it is a job for the cop comms, for maybe the PR specialists. Look at it as a love letter.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't very long, although typically love letter is very long. So this love letter is very short, maybe one page. If you can do it on a digital format, it's even better because you can provide all the links.
You have to imagine that your girlfriend has a very short attention span.
That's right, yeah. So for example, if I read your first 2 paragraphs, when even before I open your email fully, I read 2 paragraphs, that paragraph really have to catch my attention. So I often find that writing a powerful headline is important.
Mm-hmm.
How do you write it? Write it, simple rule. I have many rules, but one I must share on air is this. Write your headline exactly like what you like to be printed.
Mm-hmm.
So you will make the job of the producer or journalist or editor easy, because they look through so many press releases, they glance through all their email, they look at the header. If the header doesn't interest them, they will skip.
Right.
You know? So it's just like direct mailing. If I don't open your mail, you know, there's no way you can tell me what you want. So that is so important. That is for press release. I think that covers 50%. Of course, today, media contact person, you don't have to elaborate a lot, because actually that is the least important. You can link it to your LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So your press release essentially is your key message. All right. It addresses what is the story, what is the message, and how people can benefit from it. I think these will be the 3 things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and. Do not write it from a perspective of yourself. Write it from a perspective of a neutral party. I think mm-hmm. that is...
As if it's been written by the media.
That's right. So they have minimum editing. So how do you find out that you have made it? If ever one day you send your press release to radio and they read it exactly the way it is, you have made it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You've done a good job.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I think use a lot of powerful one-liner like sound bites. Sound bites are really, really important. And if you want to follow a rule, write your soundbite less than 140 characters. If Twitter can tweak it, they yep. will remember it.
Hmm.
So this is very powerful.
Hmm.
So when I was doing my social media launch book, I had this keynote soundbite that says, content is king, conversation is queen, community is everybody else.
Hmm.
So it's only 9 words.
Okay.
All right, but it's a powerful one-liner. People can get the gist of the 3 C's of social media.
And it's also very easy to remember.
That's right. So it must be memorable. So the art of writing and communicating your press release really takes some practice, but it's not impossible. Once you do that, you actually have a fun time. In my book, I have certain templates for you to fill up the blanks.
I see.
So, because I have been there before, so I know what everybody wants. So you just use the template and fill in the blanks. You'll find that you have many combinations of powerful sound bites.
Right. Okay, so to wrap up today's session, what can you tell us?
I think first of all, understanding the media and what they want is important.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2, communication to the media, it's important. Understand their job. Their job is not to further your agenda. Their job is to report news truthfully, objectively. Of course, if there is a crisis, then you won't have the pitch. They will be at your door.
Mm-hmm.
They will be so interested in the story. Stories of the stories. Recently, we have MH17.
Mm-hmm.
I heard from a friend in Netherlands. Even until today, the news are still reporting about it every day. So, but of course, they have their own issues and agenda. I find that news to every country depends on your culture. As long as you understand the culture of your own people, you know what you like to read, you will know what to pitch to the media. So pitch only stories that you will love to read yourself.
Thank you for that, Andrew Chow, PR strategist and author of the book PR 24/7. This is part two of our five-part series on PR. Join me and Andrew next week for part three of the series, where we'll be covering how to get yourself media ready. You can download the podcast for part one if you missed it on bfm.my. And Andrew's book is not released yet, PR 24/7, but I hear that it's out for pre-order.
Yes, the website is www.publicrelations247.com.
Right, and there you have it. Thank you. You've been listening to Marketing Mojo on Resource Center with me, Maya Tan, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.